You want it to keep going, don't you? Well, good morning. How many have seen Home Alone 2? That's what that's from. Okay, a number of you. So that was a nice little review. Have you ever had the experience of being lost in a woods? Maybe an unfamiliar neighborhood, or in a department store as a child. As a parent of three kids, I've had that heart-dropping experience, maybe some of you parents have as well, of turning around in the store, expecting to see my child standing there next to me, but he or she was nowhere to be found. Have you ever had that happen to you? Can you relate? You look around, trying not to panic, but then when you look down the next aisle and the child isn't there, all of a sudden you can feel your heart speeding up, right? And all of a sudden, everything else you were doing, whatever it is you were looking for, doesn't matter at all. Your child is lost, and you begin to panic, and pretty soon, thank God, you go down another aisle, and there's your kid, maybe sizing up a new bike, or trying to unwrap a toy, or something like that. Thank God, what a relief. I can remember that sort of thing happening to me when I was a little kid. I was about 3 years old, I must have been, and my mom, in a cold sweat, finally found me chomping away at the contents of a big, torn open bag of dog food. Maybe that explains some things, huh? But you don't have to be in a big store or in an unfamiliar road to be lost. In fact, you can be lost in your very own home, surrounded by all the familiar things of life. It's a different kind of lostness that I'm talking about here, not a geographical lostness, but a spiritual lostness. Jesus once told a story, a parable. In fact, it became one of his most well-known stories about lostness, about a lost son, better known as the parable of the prodigal son. I'd like us to stand for just a moment, and we're going to put the words up on the screen of this great story, at least part of the story. And you'll notice that there's some yellow print, and when we come to the yellow print, that's your cue to read aloud with me. This story comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and we begin in verse 11. It says, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my Father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Please have a seat. The title of our message today is The Lost Son. And to illustrate this story, we have a special guest who's come to share with us. Now, from time to time here at Stony Creek Church, we have people come up here and they share their stories with us. Usually it's somebody from our church body, but today's guest is a little different in that he comes from a neighboring church over in Troy Christian Chapel. A couple months back, Nick Morang invited this gentleman to come and speak to our men's group on a Saturday morning where we have a breakfast together once a month. And when I heard his story, I was so impressed. The story of a lost son. I thought to myself, the congregation has to hear this story. And so I invited him to come and share it with us today. And so I'm going to ask that you please welcome Mr. Rob DeCraney. Rob, come on up and share with us.
Good morning. My name is Rob DeCraney. I have a desire to tell you my story, not to inform you of the hardships I've gone through, but to share the salvation and grace Jesus Christ has given me and the peace, love, and hope I have in my heart today. I was brought up in a strict middle to upper class home. I have two wonderful, loving parents who have been married now for over 54 years. I'm the fourth child in a family of six children. I was born in Detroit in 1962, brought up Catholic, and went to a Catholic school for 6 years. When I was 13, my dad moved our family to Indiana. At age 16, I began using drugs and alcohol. At 18, I went off to college. I continued to drink and smoke pot on a regular basis. I stopped going to church, and I put God on the back burner in my life. At age 22, I managed to graduate from Indiana University, get a job, and was transferred back to Detroit. In late 1989, I was 27. I began to think about my life. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I didn't have the desire or willingness to change. I had no hope. With the next decade fast approaching, I started to think about my life. I didn't like myself. I had dreams of getting married and having a family. I knew I couldn't accomplish these goals with drinking and drugging in my life. I wanted to quit, but I didn't know how. I needed help. I began to think about my Catholic upbringing. I knew there was a God, but I didn't think he could do anything to change me. I thought I had to do it on my own. I decided to start praying for help. I didn't know who or what I was praying to, but I knew it couldn't hurt. I really didn't know how to pray. I began to pray a general prayer. Lord, show me the way. Give me the strength and the courage to change my life. Please show me the way. At this time, I would like to sing a song which describes all the feelings I was going through to find God. I was spiritually bankrupt and searching for answers. Too short. This one right here? Okay. All right, I'll sing over here. Every night I say a prayer in the hopes that there's a heaven, but every day I'm more confused as the saints turn into sinners. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay, and I feel this empty place inside, so afraid that I've lost my faith. Show me the way. Show me the way. Take me tonight to the river and wash my illusions away. Please show me the way. And as I slowly drift to sleep for a moment, dreams are sacred. I close my eyes and know there's peace in a world so filled with hatred. As I wake up each morning and turn on the news, find we've so far to go. And I keep on hoping for a sign, so afraid that I just don't know. Show me the way. Show me the way. Bring me tonight to the mountain and take my confusions away. And show me the way. And if I see your light, should I believe? Tell me, how will I know? Show me the way. Show me the way. Take me tonight to the river and wash my illusions away. Show me the way. Show me the way. Give me the strength and the courage to believe that I'll get there someday. And please show me the way. Every night I say a prayer. Now I know there is a heaven. In December of 1989, I started going back to church. I wasn't going to church to get saved. I was there to ask God to make things better in my life. I made a decision to put some of my trust in God. Well, on January 15th, 1990, I was arrested for my third drinking and driving, and I was sentenced to a year in jail. At first, I was angry at God. Lord, how dare you? I put some of my trust in you, and this is where I end up. The answer I received back was, Rob, I don't want some of your trust. I want your life. You can't do it on your own. If you put all your trust in me, I will give you forgiveness, love, hope, and everlasting life. In the summer of 1990, while in jail, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. During my stay in jail, I began to realize Jesus Christ's master plan for me. This was my wilderness, my desert. He made me understand that he loves me so much. I called on him for help and he answered. I just didn't think it'd be this drastic. He turned my whole life upside down. Although it was frightening, it all happened for good. I've now been a Christian for over 20 years. I attend Troy Christian Chapel and I live in Troy. I've been clean from drugs and alcohol for 20 years. I've been married for over 18 years to my wife, Cheryl, and I have three children, Trisha, Emily, and Parker. I can't say that since I've been a Christian that hardship has not been part of my life or that the decisions I have made have always been the right ones. But with Jesus Christ, he makes my life more manageable. When storms occur, I trust he is making things happen for a reason to allow me to have a closer relationship with him. During these times, I must be patient, have faith, and allow God's will to work into my life. To give you some examples of this, after I got out of jail, I decided to get involved in a support group called Narcotics Anonymous. I met a friend there, and we became teammates on the NA Bowling League. Well, one night, he decided to relapse and not show up. I asked a newcomer to the program if she would be my bowling partner for the night. 6 months later, Cheryl became my wife. Another example is after Cheryl and I got married, we had plans for a large family. Cheryl immediately got pregnant, but after 10 weeks, we lost our first child to a miscarriage. Then Cheryl got pregnant for a second time, and this resulted in a full-term birth of our daughter, Emily. After Emily, Cheryl had four more miscarriages. We decided to have genetic testing done, which determined that Cheryl could no longer have children. At first, we were devastated. Then God answered our prayers in the direction of an adoption. 2 years later, we adopted Parker from South Korea. Another blessing from God was the adoption of our niece, Trisha. Cheryl's sister, Lori, was an unfit mother who was unable to provide for her. At age 14, Cheryl and I asked Trisha if she would live with our family. Trisha immediately became part of our family. We loved her like a daughter, and Emily and Parker loved her like a sister. She was active in youth group at church, and she was baptized by our youth pastor. At age 16, on Mother's Day, Trisha asked us if we would adopt her. I must say, at this time, now at age 42, I was content with my life. Unfortunately, with life, there is tragedy. On October 31st, 2004, at age 16, Trisha was killed in an automobile accident. First, I was angry at God. God, how dare you? Why would you do this? Thanks to my church family and the grace of Jesus Christ, peace and forgiveness has come over me. I still ask God why Trisha was taken from us at such an early age, or why bad things happen to good people. In Scripture, Job 2 chapter verse 10 says, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In Psalms 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I have to learn to understand God's perspective. Tragedy in our eyes is not tragedy in God's eyes. In Trisha's case, it was the prize. eternal life with Jesus Christ. As the giver and taker of life, the authority over life and death belongs to God alone. It's not about us people, it's about Him. It's not about me, it's about Him. With this in mind, I trust one day Jesus will answer why this happened to Tricia and that was done according to His will. In closing, I consider my story synonymous to the parable of the prodigal son. I turned away from God just as the prodigal son turned away from his father. But once we made the decision to repent and come home, as noted in Luke chapter 15, verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I love that word, ran. He didn't walk. He didn't stroll. He ran. That's what Jesus did for me. When I made the decision to ask Jesus into my heart, he ran to me, wrapped his arms around me, and forgave me of my terrible past. And he can do it for you today if you ask him into your life. He's crazy about you. The story I preach today is salvation from Jesus Christ. It's not about the tragedies of my life or how bad of a person I was. Jesus died, Christ died on the cross to save me, to forgive my sins, to have a personal relationship with me, and allow me to live in His kingdom forever. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, to save us, to forgive our sins. We have a personal relationship with Him in our heart. And to live with Him forever in His kingdom. The free gift that doesn't cost us any money is asking Him into your heart. He'll come. He gave us all a will. A lot of wills out there aren't willing to accept Him. But He's ready. He's waiting. He's knocking on your door. Ask Him into your heart today. Jesus is a friend I can talk to anytime. Anything I do wrong is forgivable by God as long as I repent. I know He loves and cares about me very much, and that's a great feeling. I know if Jesus carried a wallet, my picture would be in it. I thank God every day for saving me and giving me a second chance at life. But most of all, God's love for me has allowed me to love myself. Thank you.
Great word, man. Great word. Great word. Excellent. Oh, man. Oh, man. Thanks, Rob. Really appreciate that. The lost son. You know, 26 years of pastoral ministry has taught me that most spiritually lost people don't even realize that they're lost. Most of us think of a lost person in the sense that we've been talking about as somebody who's really, really messed up. Like Rob was there for a while. Maybe into drugs or alcohol or violent crime or just, you know, somebody who's really, really messed up. Many of those folks think that they're too bad for God. They've messed themselves up beyond hope. But the story of the prodigal son, the lost son, shows us that no one is too lost to be found by God. Doesn't matter what you've done. All you need to do is come back to Him, and He will welcome you with open arms. The Father. How so? How can He do that? Well, as Rob said, God has provided a way to satisfy both his justice and his love. And that happened at the cross of Christ. You see, because God is a just God, he has to punish sin, or else he wouldn't be just. And yet, he loves us. So how can God be just and still forgive us? Well, the dilemma was solved in the person of Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity. Scripture teaches that he came here to earth to show us what God was like. And then, the second part, he stretched out his arms on the cross, giving his life for us. And in doing so, he was paying the penalty that we deserve to pay for our sins. He was our substitute when he was on the cross. And then, of course, he rose bodily from the dead. And so now, you can be forgiven of your sins because in God's eyes, your sins have been punished. They have been paid for in Jesus Christ. And so when you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, his payment is credited to your account. That's what the Bible teaches. And so, as Rob found out, all a lost person needs to do is to turn away from their sin and trust in Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. And it doesn't matter how bad you've been, he will receive you. John chapter 6, verse 37. These are the words of Jesus himself. He says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Never. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. I will never drive you away if you come to me. Unfortunately, most people don't think they're lost at all. We have no need to be found. That's what we think. That's for really messed up people, remember? But the Bible teaches that we're all lost. We're all sinners. No one's perfect. Even the very best of us are sin. Even Mother Teresa said, "I'm not good enough to go to heaven." She herself said she needed Jesus Christ. Now she needs him. I certainly do. How about you? That's why Jesus came as a Savior, because we need to be saved. The Bible says, and you can help me out on this one when it gets to the yellow print, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The world, that includes all of us. Verse 18, let's read it together. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Have you come to that point in your life in which you've realized that you're lost and that you need a Savior? You don't have to be a drug user. You don't have to be in prison like Rob was to be lost. If you're a human being who's never put your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior from sin, that's enough to be lost for all eternity. Jesus said he came to seek and save what was lost. Have you been found by Jesus? The good news is God loves you more than you could fathom. And he's calling you home. God himself in Jesus Christ paid for your redemption on the cross and he rose from the dead. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, Make today that day in which you come to him and say, Lord, I want to come home. I know I'm a sinner. I turn away from that and I embrace Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Why don't we stand together for a closing prayer? Father, thank you for the story of the lost son. And thank you for Rob's story and how you worked in his life. And Lord, today as we've witnessed this baptism and heard this story and contemplated the birth of Christ and the songs we've sung, I pray, Father, that if there's a person here today who says, I've been a good person, quote unquote, but I've never really realized that I was lost. That person would say, today I want to be found. I want to turn away from my lostness and embrace Christ as my Savior and Lord. I pray that that person would do so today, right here, right now. And Father, for those of us who have, by the grace of God, been found, I pray that we'd rejoice in that salvation that you've freely given to all of us. And bless us this day, we ask, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.